Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Tim Zimmer, Manning Master Control, bringing us back with some heart. They're going to be at the first weekend of Jazz Fest. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a code word in a little bit for today. That's going to be the first step toward your winning a password of the day. That's going to be your first step toward winning a pair of tickets for the first weekend of Jazz Fest. So keep listening for that. Warm and humid today, as it was yesterday. I kind of laid out yesterday, got a little sun because it was so nice outside. Highs of 82 today, 84 tomorrow, 86 on Friday, 82 on Saturday in advance of a cold front, and then Sunday highs of only 70. So it's going to be one of the last cold fronts we get. Enjoy that. And, of course, the notable part there, Friday highs between 85 and 90. So with the humidity, you better believe it's going to feel warm. Right now it's a chilly 74 outside. Aaron Dusso joins us, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
What's Wednesday morning like in Indianapolis? I'm just curious.
It's a little overcast. It was raining overnight, so we got some more rain. We got a lot of rain here.
So, like, cold or what?
Oh, I mean, yesterday was the high 70s, so it was beautiful here.
There you go.
Yeah, great.
It's springtime is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
In advance of a presidential election along those lines, what do the latest polls show about enthusiasm and what do Republicans think? What do Democrats think going into this election in November?
Yeah, Gallup just put out a poll that indicates enthusiasm. Actually, Americans overall are, you know, about average enthusiasm, at least when we think about it historically, at about a 13-point lead for those who are enthusiastic over those who are less enthusiastic. But compared to 4 years ago, that was a 28-point lead for the enthusiastic individuals. Although it's kind of hard to compare 4 years ago, you know, think back to April 2020. We were all kind of in a lockdown, and what else did we have to look forward to? So. But historically, it's about average because, 2016, 2012, it was actually very unenthusiastic. So we're doing better than those.
That's the quote of the day right there. We're all in lockdown, so what else did we have to look forward to? Boy, you know, Aaron, really, if you think about it, man, that was just a weird time in America. That was just crazy, that whole COVID thing. I know that sounds like an understatement to say that, but sometimes we just put it behind us and we keep moving. But if you go back and think about everything that was shut down and the feeling in America, it was a weird time, man.
Yeah, and it really makes it hard for us trying to predict what's going to happen here in the election is because you look back at 2020 and there's just not really any precedent for what was going on back then.
When it comes to I guess a couple of different wild cards here. One, you got a rematch, right, of Trump and Biden. Is that throwing a curveball into you guys at research all of this?
Yeah. This does not happen where you have a person who loses the reelection race and then comes back in 4 years later to run again. So this is, again, another unprecedented, hard to draw from history in this case. But even in that Gallup poll, it did break down people by their partisanship. And it did show that Republicans are slightly more enthusiastic than Democrats. You know, they have about a 11-point lead in enthusiasm, which enthusiasm is a pretty good predictor of who's going to win the race.
Republicans are more enthusiastic?
Yes. They actually have a decent-sized lead of about 11 points. And a lot of that comes from the less enthusiastic side, meaning it suggests that Republicans have made peace with their choice at this point, and Democrats seemingly are still, I'm not sure I like them.
Where does the ferventness of the Trump supporters factor into this, that 40% that, as Trump said, he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose them? Does that factor into this as well?
Yeah, I mean, because when you're this far out, it's not historically this numbers haven't been predictive this far out, but they become very predictive like in October. And so what this is really telling us is that Trump support and Republicans are just more consistent. And that actually, if you look at the history of this enthusiasm measure, it does appear that Republicans earlier in the race, fall in line faster than Democrats have.
Is that separate and distinct, though, because of that 40% fervent support for Trump?
Well, Trump, yeah. I mean, Trump's followers are lockstep, and I think that's a big part of what's driving him right now, the support right now and the enthusiasm. I would guess that once we get into the summer, once you get to the national conventions, things will start to change.
You know, and I was curious about that 40%. Is that still an accurate number for Trump, that fervent support? I keep saying fervent, but I don't know how else to describe it. Passionate support?
Yeah. Oh, I think that's very accurate. When you're talking, this is about, Republicans, if you identify with the Republican, you're probably 40%. It may be even higher at this point. 50% are, really fervently supportive of Trump.
And I'm just wondering if that 40% of people wander into and out of that 40%, or is that the same people in that 40% room that have always been there?
I mean, obviously, when you do a new poll every time, you have new people in the poll every time. But, the thought is that these are pretty consistent. It's not a person, I'm going to be fervent today and not tomorrow, and then I'm going to switch back. These people have been fervent, and strong supporters of Trump probably since 2016.
Now I got you saying fervent. You see, Aaron, it's contagious. It is. Have they ever determined, I don't know how you would go about measuring what it is about Trump that resonates with that 40% and that make them so committed to him? He locked into something there, right? He glommed onto something like a enzyme, like a lock and a key kind of thing. What was it that he tapped into? Do you know?
Well, there has been a lot of research since 2016 on that exact question, and actually some work the book that's called Strangers in Their Own Land, where the individual actually went down to Louisiana and was studying individuals. And what she was pointing to is that there's a sense among a large number of people of kind of loss in America, and particularly among white voters, that they feel that, they've been standing in line, essentially, and, they're going to pay their dues, but they feel like others have been able to cut the line. And they really are pointing to, say, Democrats as supporters of that. And the thought is that Trump has been able to really tap into that kind of sense of loss among these voters and this feeling that others are seemingly getting ahead without actually paying their dues. And that seemingly is the core of these really fervent Trump supporters.
And what is ironic about that to me is that this is not a... former President Trump's not a guy that, just to be honest, he didn't work himself up from the steel mills or anything or start sweeping floors and go from the mail house to the penthouse or anything like that. He kind of had a little bit of a lead on the average working guy, right?
Right, yeah. Trump was born with that silver spoon in his mouth.
But people ignore that, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, Trump is fantastic. I think even if you go way before he ran for president, you go back all the way to the 80s, is presenting not only this veneer of success, but as a person who works, right? I work, and I am constantly, working, even though I might have had a leg up, I have been working really hard, just like you.
Is there anything to indicate that he started way back when promoting his Trump brand, which he is a master at promoting that brand, let's face it, with an eye toward the White House? Or did he just kind of accidentally fall into that? The times were such that, well, hey, you had this brand that he had already promoted and put out there, and it just seemed, well, hey, there's a product, let's fit it into this niche.
Right. I mean, there's actually some old Larry King interviews in that from like the early 90s where Trump does mention running for president, and not only does he mention running for president, but he mentions that blue collar and working class people would support him in droves, which is like Nostradamus. I mean, it's exactly what happened in 2016. So it seems that Trump is certainly in the back of his mind has had this for a long time.
Let's talk about the campaign. We come back about Pennsylvania. I know he had some off the cuff comments, and look, again, it's 40%, doesn't matter. He had some kind of interesting things to say about the Gettysburg, Battle of Gettysburg in Pennsylvania, and the Democrats took him to task for that, but it it doesn't matter. He can say whatever he wants. So I guess when it comes to his campaigning, and he's saying that the trial now, and we'll talk about the effects of that on his campaign, fundraising, et cetera, is keeping him from campaigning. And I guess it comes down to who does he have to win over and how does he win them over? And the same thing for Biden as well. It's 6:20. Tommy Tucker talking to Aaron Dusso, our friend, associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. And I'll ask y'all at 504-260-1870, what is it about Donald Trump that resonates with you either in a positive or negative manner? I'd like to know. Traffic now, WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
6:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Aaron Dusso, our guest, an associate professor of political science at Indiana University in Indianapolis, checking in on the campaign, a presidential campaign. It just doesn't have the feel, Aaron, and a new Gallup poll out talking about Republicans and Democrats and enthusiasm about average, right, would be the result of this poll when it comes to the campaign and the presidential election?
Yeah, historically it seems like we're about average.
So it doesn't seem like an election year, I guess, maybe because it's a done deal. You know who the candidates are going to be. No real excitement heading into the convention. Former President Trump's one trial underway in New York. That's for the hush money to Stormy Daniels, allegedly, right?
Right. Yeah, that's, and violating campaign finance laws.
And if he, to be clear, and I'm not trying to make it seem like a conspiracy or anything, but and I've spoken to others about this, federal government has already, Department of Justice has already made plea deals where they'll take an elected official and they'll say, look, if you don't run for office again, we're not going to prosecute, just pay a fine. That's common practice, is it not?
Well, yeah, officially I'm not going to say that that's common practice, but it seems like that might
happen.
Be a partisan deal. Right, yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is I don't think if President Trump, and you can look at this one of two ways, you can look at it as a Department of Justice persecuting him, or you can look at it as maybe they offered him a deal and he didn't take it to not run again. Do you think he'd be on trial if he was running for president?
I mean, if he wasn't running for president, I think that what happened is that the Justice Department really didn't want to act on Trump at all, and it wasn't until the Senate hearings that were done publicly and in prime time where essentially they embarrassed the Justice Department, and then they finally, after that happened, they opened up these investigations. And so the reality is if the Justice Department wanted to do this, they probably should have done it years before, and we should already be done with it, right? Mm-hmm. This shouldn't be happening 4 years later. So there seemed to me Justice Department was really reluctant to move on this at all.
That's what made me think that maybe if he wouldn't be running, this wouldn't be happening. So let's talk about the effect on the campaign. He says it's hurting him in Pennsylvania. What's going on in the key states? What's going on with fundraising? What's going on with polls and campaigning in these states?
I mean, well, the fundraising's been a big blowout for Biden. I mean, he's been able to raise money at historic proportions. In 2020, he spent more, over $1 billion for the first time of any presidential candidate. It seems like he's well on track to do that again. The problem for Trump is, even though he's a billionaire, you still need money, and whether or not he actually has that $1 billion to kick into his own campaign, it's not clear. So Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, all these battleground states, he's going to have to be able to compete in. And if you don't have that money, it's a big, big problem. And, the enthusiasm may be there in this Gallup poll, but the enthusiasm in giving money seems to be less apparent.
See, what surprised me about that, Aaron, was I thought every time he had legal troubles, people ran to his defense and started opening their checkbooks, pockets, whatever, and contributing to him. Now he's on trial in New York. He's saying it's keeping him from campaigning and fundraising. You would think that would be a bonanza for him, but it's not working?
Well, I mean, people get tired after a while. I mean, it's how many times can you send the exact same email solicitation where you're saying, you know, they're persecuting me, send money. Eventually, those, you know, the pockets close after a while.
So along those lines, when it comes to message fatigue, if you want to call it that, Trump's playing the victim card, and I don't say that disrespectfully. He is, and maybe you think he's a victim, and that's everybody's opinion. You can decide whatever you want. But does that lose after a while? You know, I always make the human resources example of if I come into work and Aaron hits me over the head with a hammer and I keep complaining and they don't do anything about it, eventually it's not that Aaron's hitting Tommy with a hammer. It's that is Tommy complaining again when, in fact, the original thing gets lost in the shuffle. And I'm just wondering, does Trump's message eventually lose effectiveness that he's being persecuted by the government, or is it that 40% and they'll stick with him no matter what, but maybe they don't have enough money or any more money to give him?
I think it's not a winning strategy, right? So in 2016, he's able to win because he's the champion. He's the champion of the little guy, the disaffected guy, and that's a, you know, kind of a positive movement. You know, support me because I'm being persecuted. That's not positive, right? That's a negative. And so that doesn't get those people who are undecided to choose you.
Thank you, Aaron. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think I can't wait for this election. Hey, I'm a political junkie, so I keep watching it every day.
Me too. It's going to be interesting, man. Thank you. Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. We're going to talk about getting enough sleep when we come back. Text me, 504-260-1870. How much sleep do you get?
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.